What if every student had a tutor and personalized learning was available to everyone? What if every family had a financial guide and their investments made for an optimistic future? What if every doctor could diagnose you in seconds and healthcare visits felt more personal? What if your business never slept and every customer's shopping experience felt like it was designed especially for them? It can with Agentforce, the powerful AI from Salesforce.
VolitionRx, a multinational epigenetics company revolutionizing cancer diagnosis with the development of simple, easy-to-use, cost-effective blood tests involving a range of cancers and other diseases. Volition's clinical trials in human health have shown promising results in detecting several cancer types, including colorectal, lung, and a variety of blood-borne cancers. VolitionRx. Web address, volition.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. From the surface of the planet Earth, we're preparing to get to the surface of the planet Mars. There are a few steps in between. Most of them involve SpaceX, Elon Musk's SpaceX. Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black, is here to explain Plan B. Plan A is Boca Chica for a Starship launch. Plan B, Bob, a very good evening to you. You prepared us for this for some time, because the regulators from the federal government, and there's a variety of them, no reason to give them attention, have been circling Boca Chica, looking for irregularities or what you'd have to say is reasons to delay Starship. So Musk has a plan. What is it? Good evening to you, Bob.
Good evening, John. Well, I'm not one to, I like to name names. And so the people who are blocking SpaceX are bureaucrats in mostly not the FAA, though the FAA is involved in the permitting, but mostly they're coming from NOAA and Fish and Wildlife, and probably executives in the Biden administration itself, because the stark difference between how SpaceX was regulated before when Trump was president and how he's been regulated now that Biden's president is pretty telling. And basically, the Biden administration is letting the bureaucracy shut SpaceX down. And so SpaceX has been blocked now month to month by the FAA's inability to approve its environmental reassessment of Starship at Boca Chica. And there is pretty clear evidence, pretty clear indications that they're not going to approve this for months. It'll just keep being delayed month to month. And so Elon Musk threw a hint out when he gave an update presentation at Boca Chica about 2 months ago that, you know, he has his approvals already to fly Starship at Florida, and he has a facility there where he could put it. And if he doesn't get approvals in Boca Chica, he'll move it to Florida. And he hasn't been able to get his approval. So guess what? I posted a link today on Behind the Black to an article describing how SpaceX is accelerating the construction of its new Starship launch pad at its facility in Florida. They're going gung-ho now. They're building it very fast. They already know how to do it because they built this in Boca Chica. So they're just basically duplicating that process, though, of course, as SpaceX does. They're refining it so they can do it a little bit quicker and more efficiently. For example, instead of assembling pieces on the tower as they build it, they're pre-assembling them on the ground. And they might be, once they're all built, all the pieces, like Lego blocks, they'll put them one on top of the other. That's what appears to be the plan here. But either way, they're building and they're accelerating very quick. Boca Chica remains blocked. Not only has the FAA not done its approval process, but the Army Corps of Engineers had suspended the permit process on a SpaceX request to expand its Boca Chica facility. This is separate from the environmental reassessment. I talked about this last week. It appears that SpaceX failed to give the Corps some required information, so the Corps suspended the permit process. They would resume it if SpaceX delivers the information. Well, why would SpaceX not deliver that information? It could very well be that SpaceX says, why should we put good money after bad? There's no point expanding that facility right now because we're not going to be launching from Boca Chica. This is all indications that it's going to shift. Well, meanwhile, Texas Governor Greg Abbott was asked the question, what is he going to do to prevent this from happening? Because it's going to be a gigantic hit to the Rio Grande Valley if this isn't launched from Boca Chica. And he gave the typical blather about he's fighting as hard as he can to try to keep SpaceX in Boca Chica. Well, if you translate it, it's basically, I can't or won't do anything, but I'm now making a superficial claim of action so my Texas constituents won't get angry at me. He's basically not really aggressively doing much of anything. So it appears more and more that the first launch of Starship is going to take place at Florida. It does mean, though, it's going to delay that launch for at least 6 months, because Elon Musk has made it clear that they're basically ready to launch it from Boca Chica now, and it will take at least 6 to 8 months to get the new launch.
All right, let's talk about what the launch is meant to accomplish. This is Starship. What is the significance of the launch?
Well, Starship is SpaceX's attempt to build a completely reusable heavy lift rocket comparable to the Saturn V. But instead of being disposable and only getting a very small capsule into orbit and bringing back to Earth, the entire second stage, which is Starship, carrying 100 tons in its cargo bay, would come back to Earth. Kind of similar to the shuttle. They're basically combining SpaceX's Falcon 9 technology vertical landing with the shuttle's reusability concepts. And so that's its concept, and it started construction only maybe 3 years ago. And in a quarter of the time of NASA's SLS, they've cut metal and they're ready to launch. And they could very easily have launched ahead of SLS, but that's one of the reasons the bureaucracy is blocking SpaceX. They don't want the embarrassment. After spending $60 billion and 20 years, SLS might finally launch this year on its first unmanned test. SpaceX is not going to spend more than $7 billion and do it in less than 5 years. And so it's an embarrassment to the government.
Bob,
so that's one of the reasons.
Is this moving to Cape Canaveral include the chopsticks, the ability to launch and catch the first stage as it comes back and relaunch?
Yeah, they're building the same exact rocket launch pad tower, so that the whole idea is that it's super heavy and will not have landing legs. It will drop down at the launch pad, hover next to the tower, and the tower's arms will come out and grab it. And that's the test. It's also part of the whole concept of saving time and money in how they assemble and stack the rocket. Stack it on the launch pad very fast this way. It's incredible what they've demonstrated.
A detail, Bob, when they were developing Starship, there were a few incidents that you'd have to say as it decomposed as it hit the ground.
It crashed.
Yeah. So are we expecting similar conduct at Cape Canaveral as they perfect Starship's ability to come back down and get caught?
Well, you have to understand several things. First of all, that first orbital mission, nothing's coming back to any launch site. Super heavy. If they would just fly it from Boca Chica, their original plan was to dump it in the Gulf of Mexico. Super Heavy would not come back to the launch pad first time. They would dump it in the ocean, but they would dump it at a precise place to demonstrate they could take it to its precise spot, and they would try to bring it down gently to show that they can do that. And the same thing with Starship. Starship was not going to land on any launch pad. It was going to do a near full orbit and then deorbit just before it completes that orbit and land in the ocean northeast of the Big Island of Hawaii. Once again, doing a soft landing in the ocean vertically at a planned point, if everything goes right, to demonstrate they can do that. But they will not actually risk either vessel the first time. And they'll follow plans along those lines. As they get confident in the vehicle's ability to fly, they will take greater risks. Granted, Super Heavy could blow up on the launch pad. But once again, this is a spaceport, Kennedy. They have the right, this is accepted. This is a reasonable acceptance at Kennedy. So I would expect them, no one's going to complain about that.
More Ukraine in space. The ESA will discontinue cooperative activities with Russia, Roscosmos, Luna 25, 26, and 27. What does this translate into, Bob? Are those missions now gone?
Well, I'm never sure they were going to fly in the first place, because Russia has been pretty much had the inability to get any of its planetary probes launched for decades. They've done a few, but they're constantly delayed and they have issues. But the European Space Agency had agreed to put instruments on these Russian lunar unmanned probes. Most of them, I think, are landers. I don't think there's any rover in there. There might have been. But the point is that there were three different lunar probes that Russia was sending to the moon, and the European Space Agency was going to put their instruments on it. Well, the European Space Agency this week announced that they are breaking off this partnership entirely. They're not going to put their instruments on these Russian landers or rovers. Instead, they're now in the process of looking for alternatives, mostly in the American private sector. Because as you know, and we know, John, NASA over the last decade has transitioned from building to being a customer. And it's been buying lunar landing services now from a whole plethora of private companies with probably a dozen missions planned in the next 3 years, where NASA instruments go on a privately built lunar lander or lunar rover. And so these privately built landers and rovers, they have payload space they can sell. And so I guarantee phone calls have gone out right away from ESA or from these companies to ESA saying, hey, we can do it for you rather than the Russians. So who's the big loser here? Russian is all the money's going from Russia to American companies. And Dmitry Rogozin's response to this decision by Europe was kind of entertaining. Good riddance. One less European dame off our backs, so Russia should go farther with lighter load. He's basically cutting off his nose to spite his face.
Who is Jim Cantrell?
Jim Cantrell was on the John Batchelor Show years ago, John, with me and you. We interviewed him. He had been the CEO of a small sat rocket company called Vector. They were neck and neck in the race with Rocket Lab to be the first small sat rocket company to get satellites into orbit commercially. Rocket Lab won that race. Vector went bankrupt. And the reason Vector went bankrupt under Jim Cantrell was because the engine they were building for that rocket turned out to be underpowered. And there was big fight within the company and the investors over what to do about it. And basically, Cantrell was pushed out and the company eventually folded, went bankrupt. Well, Jim Cantrell, he doesn't take no for an answer. He turned around and in 21, he formed a new startup rocket company called Phantom Space, based out here in Tucson. And they are in the process of building their new rocket called Daytona, and they're doing it differently. And they have a facility in Tucson, so Jim offered to give me a tour, and I have a post of pictures of my tour of his facility that I did yesterday with various things under construction and their how they're building things. What's interesting here is because of the problems he had at Vector, where the engine the company was building turned out to be poorly engineered and underpowered. With Phantom Space, his new company, he's not building any rocket engines. He has made the decision to buy them from another rocket engine company, a company called Ursa Major, founded by former SpaceX engine builders. It's been around since 2015, and it's designed as an engine building company for rockets. You know, they'll build the engines for you and deliver them to you, and then you don't have to worry about that development and cost. They let them be the specialists. So that's what he's done. I've got a great picture on Behind the Black of their first delivered flight-worthy engine, the Hadley engine, sitting on a desk where they're testing its avionics and its electrical systems. But it's just sitting on a desk. It's kind of cool, and it's kind of a work of art when you look at it. This is what all these rocket engines are. So that's who Jim Cantrell is. He's got a new company going, and you know, I wish him luck. If anyone would know the situation in the space industry, it would be Jim Cantrell. So win or lose, he's giving it another try.
Spaceship Neptune. I see the interior of this enterprise. Looks like a first-class lounge on a Dream 767. What am I looking at, Bob?
You're looking at exactly that. It's like a first-class cabin on a 747 or on a modern airplane today, except it's not an airplane. It is the interior of their Space Neptune high-altitude balloon that Space Perspectives is building. And they are building this to take tourists on a six-hour-long flight to about 30, 35 miles altitude. You would not officially be in space. You'd be close to space, but you'd be high enough that you'd see the curve of the Earth and be above 90% of the Earth's atmosphere. And basically, and their tickets are much cheaper than anything that Blue Origin or Virgin Galactic is flying on their 5-minute suborbital pops. And so they are building this, and they're hoping to launch $125K per ticket, and they're hoping to launch by 24, and they already have 600 people, they say, on their waiting list. They revealed the interior of the spacecraft. It's going to be, you can be up there for 6 hours. So it's like being in a lounge with beautiful chairs and 360 degree views and a bar and, you know, a food bar and, convenience. You know, you can get food and so forth and hang out and have a good time.
It looks ready made for a Vogue magazine costume shoot. Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. We're going exploring next. All of the space boosters are about to deliver the explorers, while some of them are all ready for us. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
What if every student had a tutor and personalized learning was available to everyone? What if every family had a financial guide and their investments made for an optimistic future? What if every doctor could diagnose you in seconds and healthcare visits felt more personal? What if your business never slept and every customer's shopping experience felt like it was designed especially for them? It can with Agentforce, the powerful AI from Salesforce.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This message is sponsored by Greenlight. With school out, summer is the perfect time to teach our kids real-world money skills they'll use forever. Greenlight is a debit card and the number one family finance and safety app used by millions of families, helping kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely. Parents can send their kids money and track their spending and saving, while kids build money confidence and skills in fun ways. Start your risk-free Greenlight trial today at greenlight.com/iHeart. That's greenlight.com/iHeart.